Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, good morning and welcome to our phone conference of the BMW Group for the first quarter 2015. First of all, Dr. Norbert Reithofer, like always, the Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichinger, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG, responsible for the finances. They will give you an overview, and then you will have the opportunity to ask your questions. Now, let me hand over to Mr. Reithofer.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know our figures for the business year 2015. When we look at the deliveries on a group level and also at the EBIT margin, we're looking for a solid growth, and we want to remain the world's leading premium car company. Regarding the EBIT margin in the automotive segment, we are still aiming for a target range of 8%-10%. The business environment will continue to be highly volatile. We see both risks and opportunities over the course of the year 2015. On the one hand, a number of factors will have a positive effect on our business development. The global economy is expected to grow. The economic momentum in the U.S. remains high, and the outlook for Europe is once again slightly positive. However, there remains economic uncertainty in the EU as well. Experts have also forecast an upward trend for the global car market. In the U.S., new car registrations are likely to reach 17 million. In Europe, our largest sales region, experts anticipate 13.5 million new car registrations. This would be an increase of 3.8%. On the other hand, there are still uncertainties. The growth momentum in China is slowing down. For 2015, the Chinese government is striving to achieve a GDP growth rate of 7%. In addition, the Chinese car market is normalizing. We have always said that such a development would come, and so it has. We call this the new normal, and of course, we consider this situation in our planning. Forecasts for the world's largest car market predict an increase of about 7% to more than 20 million new car registrations this year. The premium segment in China developed more slowly than the overall car market during the first 3 months of 2015. Our core brand, BMW, grew at the same rate as the Chinese premium market. In Japan, the number of new car registrations is expected to decline again this year. Development in the emerging markets still remain uneven. However, the economic environments of countries like Brazil and Russia are experiencing a downward trend and are expecting a decrease in automotive sales. We are selling our products in more than 140 countries, and we have said time and again that we do not want to be dependent on any single market or region. This approach continues to be our strength. Thanks to our strategy, we have a flexible and agile approach that allows us to offset market imbalances. Due to our highly flexible production network, we can respond immediately to local market fluctuations. Due to the high demand for our brands, we're able to shift vehicle sales to other markets at short notice. There will always be new challenges in our business. These include political and military conflicts, which affect global trade and the developments of the world's car markets. This makes it even more important for us to have our strategy number one as long-term strategic guideline. However, our forecasts for 2015 can only be upheld when there are no major changes to these underlying expectations, which presume that the economic and political conditions will remain stable and there won't be any unforeseen changes. Rest assured, we remain fully committed to our successful course we have achieved over the past years, also within a volatile business environment. We have had a good first start in sales. We posted the sixth record result in a row. All in all, we delivered close to 527,000 cars to customers worldwide. Our pre-tax result also reached a new record level for a first quarter at more than 2.2 billion euros. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment stands at 9.5% and thus at the top end of our defined profitability range of 8%-10%. Our successful business development is based on the strong demand for the products of our three premium brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce, and this is reflected in the sales figures of the first quarter of the year. Never before have we sold more cars of our BMW and MINI brands in a first quarter. BMW expanded its lead in the compact midsize and upper midsize segments. At Rolls-Royce, the sales figures decreased to 781 cars in the first quarter. However, it is the second-best first quarter for Rolls-Royce and for our customers worldwide, we offer a very young product portfolio. In total, we're launching 15 new models and model updates for BMW and MINI customers this year. Let me give you a few examples. The new BMW 2 Series convertible has been available since February. March saw the market launch of the updated BMW 1 Series. The model range includes BMW's new CO2 Champion, the 116D Efficient Dynamics. Fitted with a three-cylinder engine, it needs 3.4 liters of diesel per 100 kilometers and emits 890 grams of CO2 per kilometer. Another launch in March was the model update of the BMW 6 Series, including the M6. The BMW X5M and X6M also arrived at the dealerships in March. MINI has offered its new John Cooper Works model since April, and in June, we will see the launch of the BMW 2 Series Grand Tourer. And MINI is going to present the new Clubman later this year. In the past few weeks, many media representatives had the opportunity to test drive the prototype of the new BMW 7 Series at the BMW test runs in Miramas. According to many reports and articles, the driving experience was absolute sheer driving pleasure. You have seen the wealth of innovations in the sixth generation of the BMW 7 Series. The positive feedback has affirmed our commitment to take luxury experience to a new level. For us, future luxury means the perfect balance of many superlatives: aesthetic design, dynamic driving experience, maximum comfort, extensive connectivity, and outstanding efficiency. Or, as a motoring magazine has put it, and I quote, "We seriously believe that this time the guys from Munich have managed to square the circle," end of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, further growth potential for the entire automotive industry is going to arise from the implementation of the free trade agreement between the EU and the USA. Let me comment briefly on the TTIP. For us in the EU, the single market has led to growth and prosperity. It has also strengthened the German car industry in its role as a driver of innovation, a motor for qualified jobs, and a reliable partner for the communities in which we operate. For the BMW Group, Europe is still our largest sales market. The TTIP gives the two economic regions, Europe and Northern America, the opportunity to create a common economic area with over 850 million consumers. Together, these two regions account for almost half of world GDP. This could lead to the world's largest free trade area, which would also be based on similar cultural values. Europe in particular relies on close transatlantic cooperation to secure its position in the global business world and would benefit from the TTIP over the long term. There's already a lively transatlantic trade between the automotive industries in Europe and the U.S. The OEMs in the two regions are well connected and have established a close production network, which is one of a kind worldwide. Car makers could save customs duties and invest the money instead in innovative technologies, cutting-edge production processes, and in their future viability. All of these aspects would have a share in ensuring that the EU remains on par with other major economic regions in the world, and we would profit all from that. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer, and now let me hand over to Dr. Aishina. Ladies and gentlemen, also, good morning from my side as well. The BMW Group made a positive start in 2015. The first 3 months of the year have confirmed the company's operational strength. With record sales, revenues, and earnings, the group posted its best ever first quarter. The figures confirm our targets for 2015. With an attractive lineup, the BMW Group delivered almost 527,000 vehicles to customers. Sales growth of 8.1% year-on-year also boosted group revenues. First quarter revenues climbed to 20.92 billion, up 14.7% from the same period last year. Positive currency translation effects from the depreciation of the euro against the other main currencies contributed to this significant increase. Adjusted for these effects, revenues were higher by 6.5%. BMW Group pre-tax earnings reached 2.27 billion, an increase of 5.1% over the first quarter of last year. At group level, the EBT margin stood at 10.8%. The BMW Group maintained its growth course in the first 3 months. The company invested a total of $794 million in products and equipment. A large share of our product investment benefited upcoming models such as the 7 Series, the 2 Series Grand Tourer, and the Mini Clubman. With the investment ratio amounts to 3.8% with significantly higher revenues. Due to a large number of projects, we expect to see a clear increase in capital expenditure for the full year. Overall, we aim to meet our strategic target of below 7% of revenue. As an innovation-driven company, the BMW Group spent a total of $926 million on R&D activities in the first quarter. This is a decrease of 6.7% over the same period of last year. Research and development continues to focus on alternative drivetrains, lightweight design, and connectivity. The new BMW 7 Series, for instance, will be equipped with an innovative composite body structure, the very latest assistance systems, and groundbreaking interface concepts such as instruction by hand movement. Our R&D activities are designed to strengthen the company's competitive position. The R&D ratio was only 4.4%, again due to currency translation effects on revenues. For the full year, the company is aiming for a ratio within the target range of 5 to 5.5%. As usual, capital expenditure and R&D expenses will have more of an impact in the second half of the year. BMW Group liquidity remains solid at $10.34 billion at the end of March. This healthy liquidity levels assures the company's financial flexibility. Based on the company's strong performance and financial solidity, Moody's has changed our rating outlook. In March, it confirmed its A2 long-term rating and P1 short-term rating and changed the BMW Group outlook from stable to positive. The BMW Group remains the European auto manufacturer with the best credit ratings. Let's take a look at the individual segments. Positive sales development in the automotive segment generated higher revenues. At almost $18.89 billion, this represents a significant increase of 14.1% year-on-year. Revenues rose faster than sales due to currency translation effects. Adjusted for these effects, revenues increased by 5.4%. EBIT in the segment climbed to $1.79 billion. A significant increase of 13.5% over the previous year. The EBIT margin remained at the upper end of our target range of 8 to 10% at 9.5%, just like last year. The first quarter already benefited from the favorable currency environment and a slight tailwind from changes in currency and raw material prices. However, pricing was slightly weaker than in early 2014. The first quarter of last year was impacted by the market launch of the BMW i and new Mini Hatch models. Related costs were lower this year. Dampening effects, however, resulted from a higher percentage of compact vehicles, higher depreciation, and personnel costs. The BMW Group has hired new staff to implement its planned capacity expansion and to boost its innovation leadership. The group's total workforce increased by 5.5% to 117,554 employees. The earnings contribution of our Chinese joint venture BBA reported an at-equity result which was lower than the previous year. This reflects preparations for the ramp-up of new vehicles, capacity expansion, and more intense competition in the marketplace. The market evaluation of commodity derivatives also affected our financial result. Pre-tax earnings for the first quarter totaled $1.63 billion and were therefore on par with the same period of last year. For the full year, we expect to benefit from a positive balance of raw materials and currency effects. The group is well hedged in the main currencies for the current year. The segment's positive earnings development is also reflected in the free cash flow, which stood at $1.06 billion as per March 31st. As previously announced, we anticipate a strong free cash flow of more than €3 billion for 2015. At the end of the quarter, net financial assets in the automotive segment totaled more than 15 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment reported new all-time highs from its business activities in the first 3 months of the year. In line with sales growth, the segment concluded more than 384,000 new leasing and financing contracts with customers, 10.5% more than in the first quarter of last year. The volume of new business climbed to almost €11.79 billion and increased by 27.8%. BMW Group Financial Services managed a total portfolio of 4.07 million contracts as per March 31st. This represents an increase of 6.2% over the previous year. The Asia-Pacific region saw particularly strong growth. The segment also made solid gains in its other main sales regions. At 44.9%, the segment penetration rate, the percentage of new vehicles financed or leased by financial services, was higher than for the first 3 months of 2014. There's growing demand for financial services products, both leasing and financing, in all regions of the world. The growth of the automotive business is accompanied by a planned increase in the financial services contract portfolio. Our business will continue to focus on profitable new business with a good balance between leasing and financing. First quarter pre-tax earnings climbed 23.4% to $559 million. This significant increase also stems from currency translation effects. The segment is currently benefiting from attractive refinancing conditions and a healthy risk situation. Pricing on the international used car markets is largely on par with the last year. The credit risk situation remains stable with a slight positive trend. The credit loss ratio for the entire portfolio is low at 0.33%, which is also below last year's figure. For the full year, we expect residual values and credit risks to remain stable across all regions. The segment takes a comprehensive, proactive approach to risk management and makes appropriate provisions for business risks. We expect our financial services segment to continue its positive business development throughout the rest of the year. The motorcycle segment started the financial year with record sales, record revenues, and record earnings. BMW Motorrad benefited from positive market developments, especially in Europe. The brand's attractive portfolio also boosted sales. All five new models were available for the start of the season. The two supersport bikes, the S1000RR and the brand new S1000XR, the two new boxer models, the BMW R1200R and the R1200RS, and the BMW F800R, all of which will contribute to the solid sales growth forecast for this year. BMW Motorrad delivered a total of more than 31,300 motorcycles until the end of March, an increase of 9.2%. In Europe, the brand reported a significant sales increase of 12.1%. Due in part to currency tailwinds, first quarter revenues climbed 20.1% to $567 million. The EBIT for the same period reached $115 million, profiting from a higher sales volume and a positive product mix. Ladies and gentlemen, and I would like to finish with a few words about our outlook. As I already mentioned, our business development in the first 3 months of the year confirms our guidance for the full year. We're committed to our targets for 2015. We believe in a solid increase in group earnings before tax, a solid increase in sales in the automotive segment with an EBIT margin between 8% and 10%, the continued weakening of the euro against the main currencies, the U.S. dollar and the renminbi, could lead to significantly higher revenues for the full year 2015 rather than the solid year-on-year increase originally forecast. We are planning for a solid increase in sales at BMW Motorrad. For financial services, return on equity should remain on par with last year and therefore above our target of at least 18%. The BMW Group is addressing the challenges ahead for the whole automotive industry. In particular, intense competition in mature markets, normalization of the Chinese market, and the enormous investments needed to lower CO2 emissions. We consider these aspects in our strategic alignment. We adjust our course to take advantage of opportunities for the company. Our target remains a sustainable, profitable growth. The solid increase in our sales forecast for the full year 2015 will rely on continued positive business development. This will depend on sustained recovery in the European markets, which should help stabilize pricing. In North America, we expect the dynamic economic growth to continue. Further normalization is likely in China. It will be virtually impossible to sustain the dynamic growth we have seen in the auto market in the past. Due to the higher basis, we expect lower growth rates than in previous years. Competition will intensify and put prices under further pressure. Nonetheless, we will continue to capitalize on the potential of this market. The Chinese government expects a GDP growth of around 7% this year. A slower rate of growth could potentially affect our business performance. Over the course of the year, the percentage of compact models in our product mix will continue to increase. To meet its forecast profitable growth and to secure its future competitiveness, the company will continue to invest in new products, in innovation, and capacity expansion this year. We anticipate higher depreciation and increased personnel and marketing costs for the launch of new models. Compared to 2014, more of this expenditure will be concentrated in the second half of the year. Depending on current risks and opportunities and how political and economic conditions develop, actual business performance may deviate from our present forecast. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group will maintain its strategic course and focus on enhancing its competitiveness. By doing this, the company will benefit from its financial stability, its brand strength, and from its attractive products and services. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Eichner. Dear colleagues, we now have time for your questions. I would like to ask the colleagues to point out technical information. Ladies and gentlemen, we start now with a Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, please press 01, and then one after another, you will have the opportunity to ask your questions. If you're listening by a loudspeaker, I would like to ask you to ask your questions by using the receiver. Thank you so much, and give us a few moments for the first question. The first question by Hendrik Warnholz, Dow Jones. Good morning. I have two questions. On the one hand, you have described how raw materials, derivatives, what effect it has on financial results. You didn't say anything about currency derivatives. Maybe you could tell me more about that, about hedging currencies. And the second question, I'd like to hear more about the price development. On the one hand, in China, and on the other hand, also in other markets, maybe you can, compare whether we have a similar price development in China compared to elsewhere, or whether there are differences in the different markets. Thank you. Let me hand that over to Mr. Eichner. Well, our hedging strategy is strategically organized. We look at exchange rates, and then in our hedging, we're using a mix of options and forwards. And wherever we use options, there are also changes in the fair value evaluations. Since we don't speculate and wait for the best rate to happen, what we're doing is we're constantly hedging for the future. So when the euro is on its downward trend, of course, we put some safeguards in place. Especially in the first quarter, the euro moved significantly, and that led to the corresponding effects for the derivatives in our financial results. And not only affected raw materials, but also individual currencies, and that is something which we have seen during the first quarter, and it also contributed to the fact that our financial result was clearly negative here. About the pricing development, especially in China, your second question was that. What we see is that worldwide we see a very fierce competition, and that has to do with the fact that almost all manufacturers have a similar portfolio. They all have UKL, they all have SUVs, they all have the sedans. They have a similar portfolio, so there is a competition across all segments. And that is one reason why the price level is not improving significantly because of the fierce competition. We see that in the United States. We also see that in China, especially, where everybody has focused on growth, and now we see some weaknesses in the market. You know the reasons for that. Nevertheless, we need to state that the Chinese market is still growing. Also, the premium segment is still growing, and therefore, they are still positive developments. Nevertheless, the intensity of the competition and therefore its and its effects on pricings is very clear. The prices have been getting under pressure. That is something we've seen during the first quarter, and we don't expect that trend to disappear. It is something we see, especially in this market. And that is also something we have forecast at the beginning of the year, and we have prepared ourselves to a certain extent for that as well. In the other markets, well, in Europe, slight improvements in some markets. In Europe, we seem to see a slow, sustainable recovery. And also in the United States, we see a slight increase of the intensity of the competition because everybody sees their opportunities now when with a favorable exchange rates that increases to an intensification of the competition. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Eichinger. Next question, please. The next question from Edward Taylor, Reuters. Hello, and thank you. I wanted to ask you about the contributions of the currency hedgings, how much that contributed in that quarter. Can you give us some more explanation here? And then also about R&D expenditure. The R&D expenditure ratio amounted to 4.4% compared to 5.4% last year. So there was a distortion because of currency effects. And my question is whether the real R&D expenditure decreased or whether we will see an increase of R&D investments because of CO2 regulations. Mr. Eichinger will answer the call. Well, first of all, let's talk about one quarter. We have still three quarters ahead of us, and there are also some seasonal effects. So let me give you a forecast for the year as a whole, and then let's talk about the first quarter. Well, all in all, for the whole year, as far as currencies and raw materials go, we expect a positive effect, which will amount to three-digit figures in the millions. So we have seen the first effects during the first quarter, but it was only a double-digit figure in the millions, which will increase during the rest of the year. So much about that. And something similar is true for the R&D expenditure. It was lower, the R&D expenditure, in the first quarter of this year, but for the year as a whole, we will see a similar figure, and also the ratio will also increase over the course of the year. So we believe that we will stand between 5 and 5.5% for the year as a whole, which is exactly our target for our R&D expenditure. So we know that over the course of the year, we will have further We will make further investments here. We are not reversing a trend here. I just wanted to confirm that. Okay, next question, please. The next question is by Elisabeth Beermann, Bloomberg News. Good morning. I have two questions. First of all, the first quarter was above market expectations, and I would like to know what you expect for the rest of the year. Will the first quarter be your strongest quarter? And then secondly, if you could tell us more about the results of BMW Brilliance. I'd like to know by what can you tell us the figures here, especially the decrease, and also for the rest of the year, what you expect there? Okay, thank you, Mr. Eichner will answer the questions. Well, I believe about considering the overall developments, the first quarter is in line with our expectations. When you look at our guidance, we expected a solid growth of our overall sales figures, and we now have 5.1% of growth. So if you take that into account, we're right on track with our forecast in the first quarter, and we expect it to continue in this vein. This is what I can confirm, despite all the insecurities which I have mentioned in the speech as well. But this is our guidance. About the result of Brilliance, let me say two things about that. First of all, you need to understand that, at Brilliance, we have to make some investments to prepare the next growth phase. We have decided on other products for the localization in China, and now that's why we have to make payments, and we need to make sure that we have the capacities. We need to make investments in the products, and all of that has a negative effect on our result of the first quarter. And also the new normal in China and the intensified competition also increased the pressure during the first quarter, and that also contributed to the fact that the Brilliance result in the first quarter was below last year's very good result. In absolute terms, we're talking about a decrease of 98 million euro. This is our at equity result, which affects us. Okay, next question, please. And the next question is by Gabriele Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Good morning. I have two questions. Mr. Eichner said he is going to make more investments to lower CO2 emissions. I would like to hear some examples. And where does the CO2 emissions stand? Where do they stand for the fleet as a whole? Well, let's get started with Mr. Reithofer first. Mr. Wirth, the current fleet emissions for the BMW Group amount to 130 grams of CO2 per kilometer. And you know where we stood in the past years. We started at 210 grams of CO2 per kilometer. So we have made significant improvements, and the next intermediate goal will be in the year 2020, which needs to be achieved by the automobile industry in the EU, which is 95 grams. So that means roughly 100 grams for us. And you can imagine that the main investments and the main investments we make, and also the manufacturing costs for the vehicles, the main focus is on reducing our fleet CO2 emissions from 130 grams to 95 grams. So we need to electrify our fleet. So that means we're going to have an X5 as a plug-in hybrid, also BMW 7 Series as a plug-in hybrid. It also means we're going to have a 3 Series sedan as a plug-in, a 5 Series sedan. So what you will see is that we will see more and more hybrids across our fleet in order to achieve our goals. We also need a certain number of purely electric vehicles. That's where the i3 comes in. And also we need to think about what else needs to be done after the year 2020. And after the scenario I have described, you will see, after having heard about that, you will see that the hybrid components will have an influence that has an effect on our manufacturing costs. So that means we have to make investments, and the main investments will take place between 2016 and 2019. Okay, thank you so much. I think you gave some good examples about where we need to make investments. And Dr. Reithofer, next question, please. The next question is by Irene Preisinger, Reuters. Good morning. I have several questions. One about China, where you're being more careful. Maybe you can tell us where about your sales figures for this year, because is it going to be a lower figure, a medium-sized figure? Then also about Russia. What about the manufacturing there locally, and maybe also a long-term outlook for this market. And then also in the past, there were plans time and again to actually build a plant in there. So has that been postponed or canceled? And then the Nokia cart service here, can you give us some update here? What the result of the negotiations is, or the state of the negotiations? And then also, Mr. Reithofer, since this is your last quarterly conference, what are you going to tell your successor? What are you going to hand over in terms of plans and projects? And is it going to be harder for him to do his job because of all the volatilities? Well, Mrs. Preisinger, thank you so much. You asked quite a few questions, so you will keep all of us busy. Well, first of all, the question about Nokia. Let me say about market speculations, we're not going to make any statements. Let me say that first. Okay, and then let me pass on the topic of China to Mr. Aishina, and then Russia and the long-term perspective, and I will pass that on to Mr. Reithofer. So let's get started with Mr. Reithofer. He's going to talk about Russia and his successor. Well, let me get started by saying, the following to my successor. I have known Mr. Kruger for almost two decades, and I have gotten to know him as a person who knows what's the right thing to do. So I will tell him to do whatever he believes is right, and that's actually the best advice you can give somebody in such a situation. And now about the situation in Russia. You have observed the market as well. And when I take a look around what happened to during the first quarter of this year, the BMW Group, and I'm giving you the exact figures, 8,600 vehicles of MINI, of the brand MINI, were sold. That is a decrease of 14% compared to the last year's quarter. And within the 3 months, also the sales figures were quite different. In January, we were at last year's level. In February, actually above last year's level. And then in March, we saw a decrease of over 40%. It was minus 40.1% in March. And that has a base. Well, the February was the strongest month ever, but you can see Russia overall is a major challenge for us as a group and will remain a challenge, because I've said that before at another quarterly conference. We had the target to sell 50,000 units, and this target, of course, we have had to postpone it because it is not realistic at this point in time. About a new plant in Russia. Well, during the past months, as you can imagine, on the basis of the market development which we're seeing right now, especially since last year, well, we have asked ourselves, what does the future hold? We have looked into a production in Russia, but at this point in time, please understand that now looking at the overall economic conditions and the automobile market in Russia, we cannot talk about any results yet. Let me just say the following. Also, this project has been postponed to a certain extent because right now the situation is too uncertain. We cannot take decisions on the basis of the current situation right now. Let me just add something about Russia. We don't have to act quickly there right now. So much about the production. And now about the topic of China, Mr. Aishina. Well, we all know that the dynamic situation which we have seen in the past is normalizing now, turning into a normal situation. Nevertheless, we still see growth rates there, however, at a definitely at a higher level. And for the future, the future development depends on the overall development of the economy in China. We still believe that the 7% will be achieved, can be achieved. And against this background, we believe that we will be able to realize a solid growth. And that is currently our opinion. But as I have already said, what we have to expect for the second half of the year, that is not something we can say at this point. Solid, you said the word solid. Well, solid is between 5 and 9.9%. This is the range. So we look at single-digit growth figures, we expect it to take place within this corridor. Okay, next question, please. Next question by Christian Hexe, Automotive News Europe. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. Good morning. I have three questions. First of all, about the pricing in Europe. Do you see not just a change in the mix, but also the features which are being ordered? And the second question about China, Mr. Eichiner, can you tell us what other effects play into it, and also the decrease of the results in the joint venture? Is that just a temporary thing, or will it continue like that? Mr. Hetzner, we cannot understand you. Apparently, you're using your cell phone. You need to go elsewhere, because the last part of your question, we were not able to understand it. The last question was about the first quarter figures with a 0.2% growth rate, and okay. Thank you. Whether that was threatening, that was the question. No, nothing is threatening or worrying, but let me just say that. But now let me hand over to Mr. Eichiner. Mr. Hetzner, your first question about the pricing in Europe. I mentioned it beforehand. We see slight improvements. However, let me stress slight improvements, as I have already said previously. We are looking at a competitive situation where everybody is present in all different segments. All of our main competitors, they all have products to offer across the range. And what is positive is we see a dynamic development in Europe. We see recovery tendencies in markets like Spain, for example, a country which was heavily affected by the crisis, and that leads to a slight improvement in pricing as well. Not a significant improvement, but definitely a noticeable improvement, and that's why we see it in a positive light. Your second question was about China and the joint venture there. Here, a number of facts play into it. First of all, we had a very good quarter in 2014 last year, in a phase where the Chinese market was still booming, so we're comparing it with very high figures from the previous year. And now we're about to enter a phase where we're going to invest more, because we're going to have more products in our joint venture. We have planning costs, investments need to be made, et cetera, et cetera. So we are in a phase where we are increasing the costs until this will lead to positive sales figures again once we launch the new figures. And that's why we're in this preparation phase right now, and that's why we see this effect also. And also within the joint venture, we feel that the main volume of our China business, that's where we also see an increase of the competition. And because of the normalization in China, and it also has an effect on pricing. All of these factors together had an effect on pricing. And then the last question was about the United States. Mr. Reithofer will answer the question. Well, Mr. Hetzner, I'm going to talk about the first quarter. Let me describe it from our point of view. We had a very good first quarter in America. I'm talking about the continent, and this was continued in March as well. The sales figures of Mini and BMW increased to over 47,000, 9.8%. And also, the first quarter was quite strong with an increase of 9.9%. And when you look at these figures, North America is the strongest growth driver in the region, with a sale of over 40,000 vehicles, plus 12.2% in the United States, and 3,125 in Canada, also a plus here. So we were actually quite satisfied with that. Okay, next question, please. The next question by Chris Rind, Financial Times. Good morning, gentlemen. A question about pension provisions. The provisions increased by 33%, 6.2 billion euro. And the question is whether that is manageable, or whether you will have to add some cash. Daimler followed a similar policy last year. Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Mr. Eichiner will answer the question. Well, this increase is due to the low interest rates.
The interest rate was significantly reduced for our pension commitments, and that also means that we have higher commitments. But we have a solid financial situation. We have a slight increase of the interest rate, which will come at some point in time, will definitely put us into an area where we would stand between 80 and 90%. And therefore, we believe it is not necessary at this point in time to make some further changes here. We are on a solid basis, and we don't see any reason to become active here at this point in time. Thank you so much. We don't have any further questions at this point in time. Let me remind you, if you want to ask a question, please press 01. As far as I can see, we do not have any further questions. I'd like to thank you for your participation, and I would also like to thank you to Dr. Reithofer for him. It was his last quarterly conference. We wish him all the best. I'm sure you will still get to see him one time or another. So thank you, Mr. Reithofer, for your commitment and the work you have done for the journalists as well. Thank you, dear colleagues. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you for your participation. Until next time.